What's going on, everybody, and welcome back to the Locked On Pirates podcast. I am, of course, your host, who does the most, Ethan Smith. Hope you guys are all having a phenomenal final day of the month of November. It is Wednesday, November 30th. Apologies for no episode yesterday. I was getting some stuff done, but we are live here on YouTube and Twitter for today's episode of Locked On Pirates, where we are doing a mailbag Wednesday based off of some things I read from Twitter from you guys earlier in the day today. So we're going to talk about how 2023 could be considered a success in the eyes of the beholder, being me, being the fans of the Pittsburgh Pirates, and what would have to happen for that to be considered a success. Also, the possibility of Jose Quintana returning to the Pittsburgh Pirates is something that, as Pirate fans, we might actually have to consider here. And we're going to talk about even more things other than that today here on the Locked On Pirates podcast. Today's episode is brought to you by Simply Safe and Bet Online. Of course, more on them later. But make sure you follow me on Twitter at @MVP_Ethan or at Locked On Pirates. That's where you can find all of these podcasts. And this will be how the pods are going to be coming out now. They're going to be coming out middle of the afternoon. We're going to be doing all of them live, so make sure you come in and tune in via Twitter or YouTube at Locked On Pirates or at @MVP_Ethan. And with that said, guys, let's get into it.
You are Locked On Pirates, your daily Pittsburgh Pirates podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, everybody. Welcome to a live edition of Locked On Pirates, where I am your host, who does the most, Ethan Smith. Again, I hope you guys are all having a phenomenal final day of the month of November. It is November 30th. We start off December tomorrow. It's going to be very fun for that to kick off for us as well. And as you can see to the right of your screen, if you are here live or if you are watching on YouTube after the fact, we do have a chat overlay over here. So come on in, ask your questions that will be featured on the podcast. But speaking of questions that were featured on the podcast, let's get into Mailbag Wednesday. I asked a question simply earlier around 11 o'clock this morning. Give me something to talk about this afternoon. It's now going into the evening a little bit. As you can see, it's a little bit darker because I have my lights off and it's dark outside. Gotta love daylight savings time. Got some pretty good stuff in here. Pitt Panther, of course, is who we will start off with. He's a credited guy on these Mailbag Wednesdays, has also been a lone guy on some of these Mailbag Wednesdays with his questions. What would be your minimum requirements for this upcoming season to be considered a success, both in terms of win-loss and player development? How likely do you think those they are to meet those goals? Also, side note, every week without Gary, we riot. Well, Gary and I do have clashing schedules, but also it is the off season, so less to talk about for him when he comes on the show. And also, he already does the Pirates Fan Forum as well as the Bucks in the Basement website. So I don't want to make him repeat himself, because pretty much almost all of us are talking about most of the same stuff on Pirates Twitter. So I don't want to make him repeat himself. But we will get him on. Don't worry. He'll be on sporadically through the offseason. I'm going to probably definitely get him on next week with the Rule 5 draft and winter meetings picking up. So that's going to be a big chunk of what's going on next week. But going back to your question, what would be the minimum requirements for this upcoming season to be considered a success, both in terms of win-loss and player development? I'm going to start with the back half of your question, where you asked about how likely are they to meet these goals. So far from what we've seen in the offseason from this team, you've seen an emphasis on making this team better now with major league talent. You add G-Man Choi right at the beginning of the offseason for virtually nothing. You add Carlos Santana as a free agent, having to give up nothing to get him. You trade Kevin Newman, a guy who is going to end up being a fourth or fifth option for you in the middle infield, even though I still wanted them to stay, for a guy in Dowry Moretta who's going to give you some bullpen depth now. He's going to be in the bullpen now. He's not somebody you're going to have to wait and see. Then you also get Lobo from the Red Sox. That's a prospect move that you ended up making. So you get rid of Hoy Park. You then pick up Lewin Diaz, but we found out today that Lewin Diaz was indeed the guy who was designated for assignment in the Carlos Santana signing. Then something we'll get into a little bit here later, they're already looking at more starting pitching, and there's some fun names there. One that I talked about on Monday about Kyle Gibson, that's the name that they've already thrown in. And then another name that we're throwing in there here momentarily as soon as I answer this question is a guy that we've already seen. So you can already get the idea, but I don't want to bury the lead here. But I think 70 to 75 wins is definitely where they need to be in 2023 for us to consider this a success. Obviously, don't lose 100 games again. But as Gary would say near the back end of the year, how different is 95 losses to 100 losses? There's not that big of a difference. So I want this team, 72 and 90 would be very nice. I think that's kind of the sweet spot. 75 and 87 to me would be a resounding success. I could see them in the 69 to 75 win range this year if this team as currently constructed is there. Now, they go get a starting pitcher or two in free agency and keep this pushing a little bit. Maybe 75 to 80 gets into the coin. Now, Trainsman Harperman is here, and he asks, do you think we're headed in the direction for a possible wild card spot? If not, then what would you say is needed to get to the wild card? I've said that 2024 is the year. For a while now, that's how I started the year 2022 season. That's how I ended the 2022 season. I think 2023 is the building block year, and that's where I'm also very great question because I was actually getting to this. I think 2023 is the building block year for this team, where you're going to see Brian Reynolds come back and have a Brian Reynolds X season. I think he will be an all-star in 2023, even despite the amount of talent that's in the outfield in the NL. I do think he's going to be a true all-star, not the Pirates' lone all-star, because I also think David Bednar is going to be healthy. I think he's going to make the all-star game again. I think you possibly get the key Brian Hayes jump you've been looking for offensively next season. O'Neill Cruz is going to do O'Neill Cruz things. He's going to take jumps because the amount of talent the kid has is unnatural. He's not like regular human beings. He's going to do well. And then you're also considering the fact that you bring in a Carlos Santana, you bring in a G-Man Choi, you brought in a Dowry Moretta, you probably are bringing in more starters. What kind of jump does Rowanzi Contreras take in 2023? What kind of jump does Mitch Keller take? Then you're getting into the account of player development, as you asked. You're going to possibly have Quinn Priester come up. You're going to have Andy Rodriguez up at some season, at some point in the year. Henry Davis is another guy that you're going to be looking forward to. If they don't get selected in the Rule 5 next week, Malcolm Nunez and Matt Gorski are definitely options to take over at first base if Santana's traded at the deadline. You're also looking at Rodolfo Castro, a guy who a lot of people forget is only 23 years old. What could Jack Sawinski fix his strikeout issue? There's a lot of different questions that are all over the place right now for this team, but I think 2023 is the year to actually figure this out, because going into 2024, you're going to be looking at guys like Quinn Priester, Andy Rodriguez, Henry Davis, throw Mason Martin in there for all I care, Leover Peguero, Nick Gonzalez, throw all of those names of all the guys you know that you already have, right? And you already know these guys that you have that are coming up. And when you're considering it in terms of what that is, we're going to bring it up right here for you. And you can kind of see it down here as I'll pull the chat overlay off here for a second. Look at this. I mean, you look at the ETAs of these guys. I know this is MLB.com, but you can make a very valuable argument that Henry Davis could be here next year. Quinn Priester could be here next year. Leover Peguero could be here next year, which I find it odd that they don't have him listed on a team right now, but who cares? Nick Gonzalez is going to be up here next year. Andy Rodriguez is probably going to be a guy. Michael Burrows is another guy that we've talked about. Jiwon Bays, a guy that could supplement in the outfield. Malcolm Nunez is here. Matt Frazier is here. Kyle Nicholas is here. I mean, you're looking at Matt Gorski, Carmen Majinski, Jared Triolo, Kanan Smith and Jigba will be coming back off of injury, Tanaj Thomas, Luis Ortiz, Ryan Velarde. There's a lot of different guys that this team is going to be looking at in 2023 as guys that we're going to say in 2024, how can you help this team be competitive in 2024? So that's what I think mainly about this, is I think the requirements for a successful 2023 season are as follows. Basically, get into a mode where you're winning at least 70 games. And I'm talking about going into the last week of the year where you could flirt with the idea of winning 75. That's a start win-loss-wise. Player development-wise, look at all the guys I listed, hit on a couple of these guys, and make it happen. You have to make it happen. And then, again, as was asked here, could this team fight a little bit for the wild card next year? Sure. I don't think they're going to make it. I just still think there's too many good teams ahead of them. And also, we're getting a little carried away with ourselves here about how this is going to be and how this is going to work. But that's my requirements for a successful 2023. Get at least two or three, maybe even four of these prospects in there as valuable guys for your team moving forward and win 70 to 75 games. I would consider that a 2023 success. Some people would look at the win-loss record and say, that's not it. But I look at it as a resounding success if this team can get to 70 to 75 wins. What else you consider a resounding success is your home security. Today's episode is brought to you by Simply Safe. Did you know that over the holidays, property crimes like burglaries and package theft spike nationally? That's why our friends at Simply Safe Home Security are offering 50% off their award-winning security system so that more families can feel safe and secure this holiday season. Order your Simply Safe system for half off today and enjoy advanced security and greater peace of mind this holiday season. Simply Safe was just named the best home security system of 2022 by U.S. News & World Report a third year in a row. In an emergency, 24/7 professional monitoring agents use Fast Protect technology exclusively from Simply Safe to capture critical evidence and verify the threat is real so you can get priority police response. Simply Safe is whole home security with advanced sensors for every room, window, and door, HD security cameras for inside and out, and smarter ways to detect motion that alert you only when a threat is real, and even hazard sensors that detect fires, floods, and other threats to your home. 24/7 professional monitoring service costs less than $1 per day, less than half the price of ADT's traditional professionally installed system. And with the top-rated Simply Safe app, stay in complete control of your system anytime, anywhere. Don't miss your chance to save big on the only security system I recommend. Get 50% off any new Simply Safe system at simplysafe.com/lockedonMLB. And that means there's no safe like Simply Safe. Oh, had a little gas in there for us real quick. But again, welcome back to Locked On Pirates Live, as I like to call it, where we're answering questions about things that I asked to talk about this afternoon. We just got into what the minimum requirements for this upcoming season would be to be a success. I thought that was fun. Pirates Drew, one of our very valuable listeners, top five favorite moments from last year. I'm going to make a whole episode about this tomorrow. So I'm going to make a whole episode about that tomorrow. I already can think of a lot of things. O'Neill Cruz's debut. There's a lot of different things to talk about there. So we'll get into that. John Sarakowski. Sarski. Sorry if I pronounced that wrong. But maybe go through each farm team and talk about the players to look at for this season. So again, I'm going to pull this up. And then I'm going to chat overlay away again so we can read it. So you heard about the guys that I said you'll definitely be seeing in 2023 in some capacity. Hudson Head will not be one of these guys. So we're going to go over some of these guys real quickly. Of course, Hudson Head picked up in the San Diego Padres trade, still pretty far away, 21 years old, another left-handed outfielder. Shaylin Polanco, one of my favorite prospects in the Pittsburgh Pirates system, 18 years old, still in rookie ball, not expected to be here until 2025. So we'll see what we get from Shaylin Polanco when he eventually does get here. Dariel Lopez, another guy that some people were flirting with as a possible option to be added to the 40-man for some reason. I don't know why. He's still only 20 years old. He's still at high A-plus Greensboro. He's still a couple of years away. And, of course, he is a third-base/shortstop player. You know what the Pirates have it going right now, so we'll see what happens. Mike Heliscotto, another guy that I find very interesting in Bradenton, did not have the worst stats last year, We'll scroll a little bit and let these pull up. 202 average, but still a 243, 349, 401, 750 OPS guy. But again, at the age of 20, he still has a lot of time to figure it out. Jared Jones, another guy who a lot of people in the Pirates organization like, 4.63 ERA at the current moment, has played in Greensboro. Right-handed pitcher, something the Pirates have a plethora of. Former second-round pick in 2020. Going to be some time before you see him go away. Michael Kennedy, 2022 fourth-round pick, has not played yet. I am very interested to see what we get from him. Hunter Barco, a very, very interesting player that the Pirates are going to be looking at for quite some time. He, of course, as you can see in this picture, has that really funky motion coming out of his hand that if he wants to be a starter, is going to have to change. Of course, he's not estimated until 2026. He was our second round pick this year, though, so we'll see what happens. One of my favorite prospects and a guy that I think you should look out for here in 2023, Lonnie White Jr. You look at what he's done so far in rookie ball, 263, 300, 579, 879 OPS. But man, 70 running. I think he is definitely a guy that you can look forward to in the Pittsburgh Pirates' future. He's somebody that I really enjoy. He was a three-sport standout in high school. He went to Penn State to play football and baseball. Ultimately, chose baseball. So you know he's athletic. If the arm can figure it out and the offense can figure it out along the way, I will enjoy it here. Thomas Harrington, of course, I can't remember what it's called all of a sudden now. 36th overall pick. I can't remember what the draft round is called, but another guy, another right-handed pitcher in the organization, already cracking the top 10. Of course, Anthony Solometto, a guy that I found very, very fun to cover last year and look at a little bit, already in Bradenton, a left-handed pitcher, something the Pirates are going to really need. He did really good in Bradenton last year. 47 innings, 2.64 ERA over 8 starts, 51 Ks and 19 walks. You see the grades all over 50. He's going to be very special, but again, another guy to still look forward to down the line. Bubba Chandler, of course, the Pittsburgh Pirates' Shohei Ohtani. Gotta love the picture, by the way. Basically grades above 50 on everything in his scouting grades. And then you look at the scouting grades here. Bubba Chandler is going to be fun, man. You look at his win-loss record. He's pitched. He's hit. He's done pretty much a little bit of everything, but 60 Ks over 41 innings. I don't know what the Pirates are going to want to do with him. I think he is going to end up being a pitcher, though, if you had to ask me. Then you get into, of course, Termar Johnson, who did not do much yet, but the fourth overall pick this past year. Obviously, all eyes are going to be on him. Obviously, all eyes should be on Termar Johnson accordingly. And I think it's going to be very fun having Termar in this Pirates system. So that's what you look forward to in terms of the guys that aren't going to be playing in 2023. There's a good mix of guys that are going to possibly be up here in 2023 and a good mix of guys that are going to be stuck down there. Ryan Flesher, by the way, also said, using prospect surplus to trade for controllable talent, especially starting pitching plus potential targets. Another episode that I'll be talking about probably in like this week or next week about the prospects that I would not mind trading for said controllable talent. And then the Pirates platoon said something very interesting that I will get into shortly here in a moment. But today's episode is brought to you, of course, by Bet Online. Of course, you can see Bet Online here on the bottom of your screen. If you bet on the United States yesterday to beat Iran, you were probably right there. If you bet Argentina and Poland to get through the group stage today, which was a very, very, very stressful moment for both of those countries, you could do that over there at betonline.ag. Of course, that is the place to do all of your sports betting right now. Betonline.ag is always going to have everything you need, from football to basketball to when baseball comes back to everything you need in the sports world. Bet Online has it. And get the latest odds and trends for every professional and amateur league out there. And if you love sports podcasts, you can find those at Bet Online as well. They're the fastest and easiest way to get your betting fix. So head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends in action. And Bet Online is where the game starts. Of course, you can bet on Steelers Falcons this weekend. You can bet on the Pittsburgh Penguins. You can bet on a lot of different things going on in the world of sports and even in Pittsburgh over the coming months until Pirates baseball is back, which it is not yet. But mentioned again by Pirates Platoon on Twitter, and before I get into that, Trashcan101 says, Sean Manaea looks like a Pirate. I think he needs to come to the Bucks. I'm very much on board with you on that. I think it is something they definitely need to do, something that should be explored in the coming weeks, I would think. But the one thing that a lot of people have said, and he's calling it here, Pirates Platoon, calling it now, they sign Quintana and Gibson. Kyle Gibson, of course, and the Pittsburgh Pirates reportedly had genuine interest in each other. Go check out my Monday episode for more on that. I've flirted with the idea, though, of bringing back a Jose Quintana. Now, if they do bring back Jose Quintana, you're considering multiple factors here. He was traded midseason to St. Louis. When you look at that, it's something you definitely have to keep in mind, because I don't think, if you're throwing a one-year deal at Jose Quintana, I don't think he comes back. I don't think he comes to the Pittsburgh Pirates. We also don't know how much money Quintana is going to garner, because not only did he have a good year with Pittsburgh, but via trade to St. Louis, he had a pretty good year for the Cardinals, for all intents and purposes, of course. Thought he had a phenomenal year for them, helping them get to the playoffs. So you would think that St. Louis is probably on the prowl to bring him back. And if Pittsburgh is thinking about it, I've said that this team has needed a lefty for a while. The past 2 years, you've seen Tyler Anderson and Jose Quintana have pretty good performances in Pittsburgh before being traded at the deadline. You bring up Sean Manaea, you bring up Jose Quintana, sure. I would be fine with Quintana or Manaea or both. I would not shy away from getting either of them. But with the genuine interest in Kyle Gibson, I doubt that they get all three. Now, would I like them to get all three? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Mitch Keller, Rowanzi Contreras, Sean Manaea, Jose Quintana, Kyle Gibson. It's a pretty respectable rotation, if you ask me. Now, I do think the more likely option here is that they get Gibson and Manaea. Quintana, again, is somebody I would consider. I don't really know. I don't want to say, like, Manaea is somebody I consider a top target for them. Quintana is a guy who we've seen already has success here. But if they don't give him a multi-year deal, what's the point? Because then you already know that he's going to get traded again. Tisha Mo 02 says, I'd rather have Rogers over Manaea personally. Another lockdown bullpen arm is a must. I'm assuming you're talking about Taylor Rogers or Trevor Rogers. I always forget his first name. That's a very, very good assessment. That they definitely need to get another bullpen arm. And I think the likely options we have here are Kyle Gibson, bullpen arm. Sean Manaea, bullpen arm. Kyle Gibson, Sean Manaea. Quintana, Kyle Gibson. Quintana, Manaea. Quintana, bullpen arm. I think those are the multiple combinations that you can make up and say, okay, this is probably what they'll do. Now, do the Pirates spring the cash that much this year? That's the biggest question when you're getting into this about them going after pitching, because pitching is a much more valuable product for a team like the Pirates, and they need it badly. Also, thank you for the 10 people all here. I really appreciate it, as always. But when you're getting into the nitty-gritty here, you have options. And Justin says, gotta go after Katana again, man. Either way, it's so exciting. Dark days are just about done. I agree. We talked about that earlier in the live show, so you'll definitely be able to go back to YouTube when this is up and check that out. I think it's time for the Pirates to, as Tasha Mo said, go get the bullpen arm. Go get some bullpen arms to help you. Go get the multiple starters. Make this team respectable at the worst in 2023. Who's to say, again, that this team's floor is respectability of 70 wins? 70 and 92, if they make these moves. That's the floor. Then you're getting into what kind of expectations could this team have? What's the ceiling? Talking maybe 75, 80 wins. Talking about this team actually being, again, respectable. Talking about a team that has, like, a genuine interest in the city. Genuine fan interest in terms of what happens next. It's kind of how this offseason has felt so far with some of the moves they've made. They've made a move about every week and a half so far. Tasha comes back. I just remember the meltdown late last year against the Yankees, and I felt like it really crushed the team. Can't keep having games like that happen, or else it'll destroy the young guys. And I agree 100%, which is why I think they need, to put an added emphasis on the bullpen and the starting pitching staff, because over the last 2 years, we have consistently seen this team fall apart pitching-wise. That cannot continue to happen. It cannot continue to happen. It's not something that the Pirates need. And I agree, Mateo. That is a perfect scenario. The Pirates would try to be at last year's Orioles, and I think they could if they tried. Mateo, they could be more than that if they tried. We know that Bob Nutting's not broke. And I'm not going to sit here and bitch about Bob Nutting. Excuse my language. But I'm not going to sit here and moan about Bob Nutting for the next 5 minutes. No owner's broke. Just know that. But they have a very comparable formula to what the Orioles did last year with the move they made so far. You get the veterans like G-Man Choi, Carlos Santana. You're going to get a veteran pitcher at some point. You saw what they did last year, the Orioles. They traded Trey Mancini at the deadline. They traded Jorge Mateo at the deadline. People called them idiots. They were right in the thick of the playoff race until the last week and a half. That could be a potential Pirates ceiling going into 2023, depending on how the NL shakes out. Because you know who you're going to have in the NL as your top teams. You're going to have the Cardinals. The Brewers, I don't know. I can't get a good read on the Brewers this year. The Cubs haven't done anything major yet. But you know you have the battle with Atlanta. You're going to have the battle with the Dodgers. You're going to have the battle with the Phillies. Battle with the Padres. Battle with the Mets. The Giants appear to be in on Judge, possibly, and they're going to make a big splash at some point. But also something I think that plays in the Pirates' favor this year is the fact that they have to play all 30 teams. I think you're going to definitely see a different vibe about how this year is going to shake out in terms that the AL Central is not just going to beat up on each other this year. How do you feel about O'Neill Cruz? O'Neill Cruz, the ceiling for him is so high, it's ridiculous, and he's going to be a phenomenal baseball player for the next decade. I don't want to hear any crap about O'Neill Cruz in terms of his strikeout numbers. It's the first time he saw major league pitching consistently. The kid's going to be absolutely nuts. His ceiling is ridiculously high, and so is his floor. But I'll wrap up today's episode with this here on Mailbag Wednesday. He's the best shortstop in baseball. He has the potential to be, for sure. He definitely has the potential to be the best shortstop in baseball. But to end it with this, you guys mentioned O'Neill Cruz. Just look at this team right now. O'Neill Cruz, again, high floor, high ceiling guy. Ke'Bryan Hayes, best defensive third baseman in baseball. Brian Reynolds, fringe all-star every single year in the outfield. Carlos Santana, veteran switch hitting first baseman. G-Man Choi. Rodolfo Castro. Whenever they fix the catcher position, be it Roberto Perez or whoever. After that, Mitch Keller, Rolandy Contreras, all of that, you know? And even Harper Mann's throwing out the fact that the Pirates were in the first World Series in 1903. The dark days are behind us. The dark days are behind Pirates fans. Get ready, because this upcoming season is going to be fun. And I am going to be glad to spend it with all of you. Thank you for tuning in today to the Locked On Pirates podcast. Go check out Locked On Sports Today for all of your news on everything in the national scene in the world of sports. Guys, I can never thank you guys enough for tuning into these live shows. But again, this is how this is going to be rolling for the rest of the offseason. I really enjoy interacting with you guys. It gives me the energy to do this. It gives me the fun to do this. And it's the middle of the offseason, and the fact that I have 11 people watching this right now is absolutely phenomenal. If you're tuning in on Spotify, Odyssey, Google Play, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts, thank you so much. Guys, I'm Ethan Smith of the Locked On Pirates signing off, and I will see you on the flip side.